Coming up today on the Domversations podcast.
Say you see 1111, or say you see your birthday numbers, or you have a lucky number and you start seeing it everywhere. The more you see it, the more the message and the energy behind the number is kind of present and trying to get through to you.
Welcome to another episode of Domversations. Today we have Nova Lee Wilder. How are you doing today?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me, Dom.
Oh, thank you for being here. I'm super excited to talk about your name, by the way. But Nova Lee is on the show to talk about numerology, which I've had two other episodes with numerologists, but I never asked them, which I can't believe I never asked them, does each number have a meaning?
Yeah.
It probably seems obvious, but like I was thinking, okay, 1 through 9. And then I was thinking, like, where does it end? Like, does 1,100 and...
Yeah, it never ends. It never ends. So depending on what system you use or approach you have or school of numerology you kind of adhere to or study, there are going to be different meanings or energies behind each number. We do agree on most of them. If you talk to different numerologists, you're going to see that there's a general overlap. Then we disagree on a few. But basically, each number can always, you can always find the digit sum. So you can always reduce a larger number to the digit sum of that number. And that's going to tell you something about the larger number. And because I know we will probably touch on angel numbers, of course, there's also meaning behind sequences, longer numbers, repeating numbers. There is a difference between 1001 or 1111, like 1111.
Right.
But there are different energies in it. Whenever you also see a number repeated, that amplifies the message or the energy behind it. So say you see 1111, or say you see your birthday numbers, or you have a lucky number and you start seeing it everywhere. The more you see it, the more the message and the energy behind the number is kind of present and trying to get through to you.
Who or what is trying to get through to you?
Well, it depends. I believe that we all kind of have a spiritual guide team. Sometimes it can be helpful for people to think about them as angels that have as part of their job description to kind of guide and support and help and show up for you. For other people, it makes more sense to think about it as their ancestors, people who've passed on. There's an ancestry connection. Sometimes that makes more sense because if you've had someone pass, maybe you've also had that experience of still feeling them there or seeing or hearing or smelling things that reminds you of a grandmother. And so it makes sense that the messages or stuff that comes through, you connect it to that presence. But I just think that there's something much larger than us that is pure love and that is trying to help us as best it can through whatever pathways that we are open to. And often numbers or seeing angel numbers is one of the ways that people have that awakening where they go, it can't be a coincidence anymore. Now I've seen this number so many times or had this experience so many times. There must be more. And as soon as we go, there must be more, I think our little team goes, okay, I got her.
We're getting through.
We're sending some bigger stuff now. Yeah.
So is that, okay, well then, is that what angel numbers are?
Yes. Yes. I mean, angel numbers is a term within numerology that has only really more mainstream since the 90s. Before then, we didn't really call it angel numbers. People were just lucky numbers, repeating numbers, spiritual numbers, what have
you.
But there are a bunch of kind of new age thinkers and writers and authors in the 90s who were like, you need to know about this. I'll write a whole book only about angel numbers. Where before, maybe it was more, you know, a chapter in a numerology book that touched upon it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I have had family members and friends saying, you know, if you have somebody on that does numerology, ask them why I'm always seeing the same numbers all the time. So does it matter that you're seeing numbers all the time, Or does it matter exactly what numbers you're seeing every time? If I always look and I see that it's my birth numbers, oh gosh, how do I word this? Am I trying to narrow in on the breakdown of when it breaks down to a certain digit, or is it the fact that it's my birthday numbers?
So there's a couple of things in this. I think of numerology and kind of the world of numbers as a language. And so when we learn a language, we usually start with just one or two words. Maybe we learn how to say yes or no, or energetically, I would say green light or red light. Is this a yes? Am I leaning forward? Does it feel like confirmation? Is something in me going yes towards something? Or do I have it as a red light? Something says stop, slow down, read the fine print. Check in with yourself. So numbers can both kind of be, people often will have, it'll be part of an awakening on many levels to see numbers. Say we see 11, 11, 1, 1, 1, 1. That's very often what people start seeing.
Right.
And once you start noticing and you start getting sensitive to it, you might get more words. You might get more information in, and you might get that, what is it? What is it? And I often say, well, how are you feeling? What's going on in your life and right this moment when you're seeing it? Is there a general theme coming up? Are you going through a transformation, an awakening, a moving? Are you moving the boxes in your head somewhere else? Are you moving physically in the world? Are you going through a big step? Then it makes sense that energetically things are also shifting. If you see your birthday and that's a repeating theme, then I would say that there are probably messages within kind of the map of your birthday. In numerology, it's the numeroscope, and astrology is the horoscope. In palmistry, it's your palm print. There's a message in the map that you have maybe not fully embraced. So when you see your birthday, I would say maybe you should go find a tool and numerology or astrology and look closer at the map. Or it could be human design, whatever you're kind of attracted to. And of course, you should also be attracted to the reader or the user of that tool. Because I find that when I'm reminded or I see my birthday, it's usually one of those core patterns in my personality that is needing attention, because I'm born on the 28th. If you find the digit sum of 28, you're going to find that that's a one. So when I see the number 28 or I see my whole birthday, I'm okay. Is this a lesson for me about my oneness, the energy of being a one? What are those core lessons? Okay, leadership. Am I shying away? Am I playing too small? Am I pretending to be a follower when I'm really a leader? Am I trying to manipulate people? Because that's a very low level of leadership, trying to get them to do what I want. Where am I on kind of the scale of that oneness and leadership energy? And is there a way where I could push myself upwards where it feels better to be me? So depending on the number you see, the message will be different or the meaning will be different. And also some people will have, you know, I've written a book about angel numbers. There are general messages behind each number, but nothing kind of rules over you. If you have a feeling that seeing 22 is a very specific message from a very specific person or something, that then I don't think you should look it up in my book. Then I think you should trust
gut.
And you should also trust always your own interpretation. I've been doing this for a number of years, and the depth of each number still astonishes me. And I go deeper with it, and I'm always the same 9 numbers. But my understanding of what they mean for each person, or in their names, or in their angel numbers, or in their birthdays, or what it means to live in a building that has that number, or what it means to look at the energy behind a title of a book, or why certain numbers show up more in actors or singers or presidents, or the depth of my understanding is always growing. So it might also happen to you if you see numbers that what felt a specific message when you were in your 20s feel a slightly different message when you're in your 30s or 50s or what have you.
Right. Well, and now we have the internet. and, you know,
yes.
books too. But did you have many places or ways to research when you first started learning numerology? Was it difficult, or is it old, 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 where it was easy to find?
Well, it depends on, to me, studying things is more a matter of choosing your teacher and kind of understanding the filter that we all are on the information we have. So no one is completely objective. No author is completely objective.
Sure.
We are all kind of children of our time, or we carry trauma, or we carry, maybe we think we are superior in some way, or our numbers are superior. And maybe also something I have learned from also having to sell my services is that it's very hard to be, to remove yourself from the information. So I picked teachers when I was starting out, and I picked different teachers when I got a little bit into it. And I read the books a certain way when I was reading them for the first time, and I read them differently now. And I can also tell that there's this thing in the world where people want the newest.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have admissions calls with people who are studying with me. And I always, after the admission call, I give them the literature list for the school. Because even if you don't sign up, I think you should read. And sometimes people will go, don't you have something newer? Some of these books are really old, really old. Some of them are from 1920s. That's a really old book. And I go, no, but the core information, the core energy behind all of this is the same. And you're actually going to learn something from reading books about the same subject, but from different people throughout time. Because then it gets easier to sort what is the actual information and what is the author's opinion, or how they spin it,
right?
Or who they apply it to, or how they apply it. So yeah, I mean, we're always learning. I'm always learning.
Yeah, that's, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, go back now to where you changed your name.
Okay.
What prompted that?
So a lot of things prompted that. I think I've always kind of realized that our identities are a lot more malleable, or they're not set in stone. We all have ideas about who we are in the world, and we also have ideas about ourselves that we only meet at certain ages. So my sister, for example, when she had children, suddenly she went through all her clothes and got rid of all her mini skirts because she was, no, I'm a mom now. You know, identities are not just, again, they're also through time. So back in 2014, I had made the decision that I was playing too small, and I was studying acting in New York, and I had uprooted my life because I come from Denmark originally. So I had moved continents. I was speaking a different language. I was meeting new people. They didn't know anything about me. And I really had a clean slate, the cleanest slate that I've ever had, probably.
Right.
And I was facing the reality that a lot of my behaviors and patterns internally and externally were just repeating themselves. And I was, oh my gosh, it is me. I'm doing these things. Why can I not escape it? And, or like, what's wrong with me? I mean, that's unfortunately a core thing for many of us that goes, why can't I do something different? Why can't I shake this thing? And so I had a friend who'd had a session and a name change with a numerologist. And I was very, this is weird. This is very weird what you're doing, but I love you. So, okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of things shifted in her life almost immediately. And since I knew her really well, I knew that some of these things were really, really, really ingrained things that
right.
should not be able to be shifted so easily. And I was a little bit, F it, you know, let me just try this. So I had a session with a numerologist, and it was very uncomfortable because she could see everything, and she was not, you know, the gloves were off. She was very direct and very right about everything she said. And she was, I'm really, really sorry, but you can't, if you want to do this, if you want to change your name according to numerology, you can't keep any of it. You can't keep your first name or your middle name or your last name. You have
Whoa.
to let it all go. I mean, she had the energy because she was freshly out of numerology school. So she was just a little bit all in on it. And I think maybe as I think about it now, when I work with people, I'm like, there probably would have been a way we could have spelled some things differently. There was probably a way to kind of keep certain things. But she was very like, it all has to go. And I was like, okay. And so I changed my entire name. And the good thing was that I was in the US. So when I came to my friends and I told them I've changed my name, they had only known me for 6 months. So they was, that's weird, but okay. I mean, cool. I mean, you're an actor. They do that, right? Like, okay. I mean, if that's what you want to do, what am I going to do?
Right.
And so I didn't really go home and see people until that program was done. And that was 2 years. And by then, both the name and the identity and all of the shifts that came from that name change had become very rooted in me. So when I got home, people were like, what happened? I was like, well, I did. The name change, I believe the two things can be true at once. By shifting a certain part of your identity, the belief of who you are, that's going to ripple through everything in your life. Whether you believe in numerology or not, changing a core thing about yourself, something that you felt like or thought was set in stone, proving to yourself that you can change that is a positive thing. That's going to do something for your mindset. So many things changed. My relationship to my body, to love, to food, to my own talent, to my understanding of that I could do hard things, like that I really truly could do hard things. And it's that thing of like, if you show up as a different person, then people are going to treat you as that person.
Right. So you probably know I'm going to ask this. What did your parents say when you changed the name that they gave you at birth? That has to
Yeah,
go with
I
some.
Mean, my mom had passed, so I don't think I even thought about so much what she would think. I knew with my dad, but that's also one of the things, like if you do it for yourself, if it's truly for yourself, then other people's opinions or troubles, because sometimes they can be like, oh, that's so hard. And I don't know. And I've called you this forever. And to me, you'll always be.
Yeah, right.
You know, people can say a lot of things that they don't actually realize are maybe hurtful or dismissive, but they can just kind of say it. And I mean, to me, like he was always like, oh, but to me, you'll always be, you know, and then he had a nickname for me when I was a kid. And I was like, that's okay. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay to me that to you, you'll always be, or like that you're going to get stuck in this for a little bit. I mean, now he calls me Nova, but I also am aware that there's probably always a split second where he has to correct himself in his mind. I mean, it wasn't that hard. But I think also by then, I changed my name when I was like 26 or 27. And by then I had moved through a lot of my teenage issues with how I didn't feel maybe supported by my family or understood by my family. Or I'm the only one who fully went the artistic, where everyone else is maybe a little bit more within whatever system they have chosen.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, I'm already the crazy one. So
just go with
cements it.
It.
You know, I mean, what am I going to
do?
And also, you know, I tell this to my clients when they're, how am I going to tell people this and how are they going to react? I'm like, people who have a problem with change are going to have a problem with you. And you probably, I also say to people, you can change your name and not tell them immediately. And they're going to find something energetically to pick on because they can tell. We can tell. When something shifts in someone around you, and if you have a problem with that shift, even if it's not voiced, it's going to trigger something very human in us where we might go on the defensive.
Yeah. Gosh, I was just thinking, because I know you were an actress, I was just thinking about how a lot, I won't say most, of actors and actresses don't go by their real names. That's so...
Yes.
Interesting when I think about what you did. Do you think that's what helped catapult them in their careers because they didn't identify with that name anymore? And so they were able to take on a new persona?
I think there is an element of that thing of allowing yourself to transform, which is what the base thing that an actor needs to do. If you're not able to transform, then you can only kind of play a version of yourself. And I think we all know actors who forever play a version of themselves. That doesn't mean that they're bad actors, but they can't fully transform. And one of the gifts of being an actor and going through that transformation is that you realize that a lot of things are just a point of view. It's just a point of view on the world or other people or a specific race or gender or people with a certain name or something, that the point of view is everything and informs everything around you and how you carry yourself and how you walk and talk and everything that. Right. So I think shifting your identity, that's one of the things that actors do all the time. So for example, you know, Meryl Streep is not actual Meryl Streep, and Emma Stone is not actually Emma Stone. And I think living that identity, that persona for the world, can definitely help you have that thing where you get more playful with it. Because if we're all just playing, we think we're so attached to the version of us that we're performing, and so sometimes it's really good to have that. And I think that's a gift to any actor or any like creative person who puts on the persona of the artist. And that's also, we get to choose, like, or like, am I the tortured artist? Am I the satisfied artist? Am I the supported artist? Which version of myself am I choosing to show up as today, right, on set or personally in my business? Yeah.
So what was it that made you think, okay, I'm all in, I'm changing my name? Like, because that's a big step.
I think I was a little bit of a rebel in terms, I was like, I'll just do it. Also, I mean, I am Danish, so I changed it in the Danish system or within that system. And it's very, very easy to do it. You log in online, you pay like $80, you put in the new name. It takes 24 hours. You got a new name.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It's changed in all systems across Denmark. So there's also a reason why maybe numerology is having a heyday in Denmark or in certain Scandinavian countries. And for sure, like working with international clients, I can tell that certain countries have made it very, very easy for their citizens to change their name, and others have made it slightly harder. And even in the US, each state and court and county also have made it either easier or harder to do. I forgot your question.
Well, I was asking, I kind of asked the
wrong
one.
What made me? So I was both, it's very easy to do. Okay. And I knew someone who had done it. Cool. And then I was like, and if it doesn't work, I'll just change it back. It was kind of like a little safety thought that was, I mean, if I do it and it doesn't work, then I can, you know, like, it's a choice, but it's not chopping off an arm.
Right.
Or, you know, this is a choice that I will see through, but it's a big deal, but it's not as big of a deal as, I mean, it could be bigger. I don't know.
I could see that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I also knew, which I know now, that sometimes we need those little safety thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, that tells us, oh, but it's no big deal.
Right.
I knew the moment I did it that I would never go back.
What made you pick your name?
Well, I mean, that was some practical things where, you know, my first name before was Ava. And so Nova was like very obvious. That's also what But when I tell my clients, if you have a short name, maybe if you want to change it, we're going to look at short names. I'm not going to pick your name for you, but going from Ava to Galadriel would have been a jump.
Yeah.
But Ava to Nova, okay. That was not a big deal to me. And then, I mean, I knew I wanted something that would work in Danish and in English-speaking countries. And I also knew that, you know, in Danish we have different letters, so it needs to be easy to spell. I'm over having to spell things differently, or the pronunciation is weird. And I also was like, I don't want to be named after other people. Or that sounds wrong, because I definitely was a little inspired by Gene Wilder. Why not? Why not? Why
right.
wouldn't you be? I was like, sometimes it's really healthy to cut certain connections to your family. Specifically, if there's, I mean, there are not that many bad stories in my family, but definitely some stories I've heard about, you know, people being named after friends that their parents no longer talk to, or, you know, a hated aunt, or just something where the story or the energy that gets told around that name is negative. And yeah, or some, you know, pastor or someone who did the, because that happened to me where the, when I got baptized, the priest switched the names. I was supposed to be Christine Ava, and he was, that's wrong. So he put Ava Christine on my certificate, and, you know, they never got it fixed. So until I was 8, I actually was called Christine. And only when I was 8, I realized that my first name was actually Ava. And like any good 8-year-old girl, I was, now I want to be called Ava. And I made a whole big deal about it. So there's just a lot of stories often tied to our names. And sometimes that thing about naming yourself can be so transformative and such a reclamation. I have lots of clients who also, you know, it's after a divorce where they're like, do I go back to my maiden name? Do I keep his name? I never liked his name. Why did I take it in the first place? I am telling you right now, public service announcement. If you do not like his name, do not take it. You get married. Please don't. Please don't do it.
Gosh, that's interesting. What was I going to ask? Something about, well, if you, okay, there's some people that specialize in life path or your soul path number. Everybody's got their specialty. Is your specialty about helping people come up with new names? Is that your thing?
Yeah, specifically, I love name change sessions. So I definitely do readings if you want to know what's in your birthday and your current name. I can totally tell you that. But I find any spiritual tool the most helpful when there's a practical application. And for me, for numerology, the practical application of how's your current name impacting you? And what could a new name open up for you? And so I never pick the specific names. I just pick the name vibration, and then I give people name lists to choose from or be inspired by. And so, yeah, I did think about niching down to just be like the name changer. But I was, we're already doing numerology. It's already pretty specific. Every tiny part of the spiritual world that I'm unfolding in and helping people in. So, yeah, numerology and name change.
How do you know if it's your name? How do you know if it's your name that's holding you back, though?
Well, I mean, get a reading.
Okay, okay.
Read a book on specifically Chaldean numerology, because that's the kind I use, and that's the one that specifically has tools and more in-depth descriptions of what does each name vibration do, and then the reading would help you to what does it do to you. Because you are a specific expression of energy in the world. And so each name vibration is going to kind of filter that experience differently. So I could, you know, I've written a book about that too. Like, there are general descriptions of each name vibration, but to truly understand the impact, you would need to have someone apply it to you. Kind of like with astrology, you could read about what does a transit in Neptune or something or mean generally. But you would have to be, well, okay, so I'm a Leo rising and an Aries moon. What does it mean for me when that happens? So the specificity of the tool comes with applying it directly to you.
Okay. Well, going back, so you have your own podcast.
Yes.
The numerology podcast. And then you also, how many books have you written? I know you have one for sure.
I have two. I have a little bit of numerology, which was my first book, and then a little bit of angel numbers just came out in December of 2023. And now I'm writing on my next book, which hopefully will be done this year. Let's see. You know, the two first books are shorter books, and the next one is a bigger. One of the things I've learned from doing this is everyone just wants more. Yeah. And so my next book is more. So it's actually hard to know how much more
right
it's
where
gonna
to
be. But
stop.
it's definitely, yeah. Also because you know you get inspired. I mean, at least I do. I'm like, I know something happens in the media and I get fixated on, oh, I should do a case study on Taylor Swift because she's such a good example of four energy, or oh, I should do a case study on this person or that person because they're such a good example of something. And then, well, do people want to, I mean, people want to know about themselves. So do they see themselves in this famous person or not?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I will look up people then to see if they're a Gemini too, and then to see if their birthday is the same birthday as mine. And then it's like, oh my gosh, all these famous people have a birthday the same day as mine. You know, maybe I'll be famous. Maybe that's what it means. I mean, we're all looking for meaning. I think that's what it boils down to. And anybody can be a skeptic and say that they're not, but they are. They're secretly.
Yeah, they are.
Can you predict stuff with numerology?
We can do certain things. One of the tools in numerology are the yearly cycles, where we can kind of see what does it mean to have your birthday and the name you carry through time. So like how, and it's not a specific thing where we can see, oh, on October 5th you went into 7-Eleven and you bought a pack of gum and then you left and then you went home and watched TV. We can more see kind of general waves. So for example, people can have waves where if they tell me there are all these things and I'm looking to get pregnant, and I'm like, okay, cool. I can look at your yearly cycles and see if there's any expansive themes coming up, love themes, fertility themes, something like that. I can also, if people say, I really don't want to get pregnant, then I can say, well, then you really should be careful around this time. And also translate these things into the specific person I'm talking to, because I had a wonderful session with a person who was, all these things are going on and money and blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, it looks to me that one of the things that are coming up for you is you spend money on things and people you love, which means that the next time you have one of these love themes, you should not be going to the pound and look at kittens, because you're going to come home with kittens. You know, there are things, they're the same. We can also go window shop. And then there are certain periods of our life where we'll end up emptying the store and come home with everything.
Right.
And so translating, it is, you know, it is saying what's going to happen, but it's more kind of saying these are the themes you're going through. And then depending on, of course, what's in your name, some of these themes are going to have more impact. For example, if you have a lot of creativity or ideas, or maybe you have name vibrations that are connected to public speaking or fans or audiences. If there's a theme in your yearly cycles that says fans and audiences and being seen and being heard, then I'm going to talk to you about that. And of course, also tell you that we can't be heard for things we don't share. So that would be a good time to share. Or like a lot of these things are going to happen totally automatically. For example, the last time, like the first time I came up with a book, it completely aligned with a theme in my yearly cycles about being seen and heard and growing your audience or growing your followers. And I was like, that makes sense. But that I hadn't even pictured it. You know, I had just written a book, but it aligned. So we can do that. We can also kind of go, that doesn't mean you can't come out with a book at any time. Of course you can. But it could, or you can also get pregnant without it being, you know, in your yearly cycles, just as you can get divorced or something like that. But major themes, also things like losses. Sometimes they are that we lose someone, but sometimes we lose our footing in life. And sometimes that's the message. And so like yearly cycles are usually helpful going forward, where we can look back and go, okay, I've had this theme before of loss. Is there any notes that I would give myself going into a new theme? I mean, I can't lose the same thing, but maybe I could take better care of myself in this, you know, in this wave that's coming. And that's usually what I tell people if things look tough. I'm like, this is when we schedule the massage. This is where we say no to hosting Christmas. If you know that that's one of our triggers.
Right.
You know, this is like, we can just be kinder to ourselves in those periods of time.
Yeah. Gosh, that is just fascinating. It really is. I had no idea. I mean, and I, like I said, I've done other episodes on numbers, but it's crazy at the limitless possibilities there are out there, just as many as there are numbers.
Yeah. Well, it's also the intuitive aspect. I find, to me, how I would read the numbers or read a yearly cycle, or maybe how I would convey information when I started out, is different today. So like, sometimes who you talk to is also just really the key.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where you're like, you're not gonna listen to the book or the app or the YouTube video, but you are going to listen to a certain voice,
mm-hmm.
or like a certain person. So I find that also is just part of the reading of anything, is the reader. That, I don't know, that's just a thing that I've learned over time. Sometimes with getting a reading, is like, the most important thing is to pick a person that you feel some kind of connection, or your nervous system goes, okay, I can relax a little bit and listen now. Yeah.
Mm. Well, tell people how they can find you if they want to get a reading from you, or just if they want to see more about what all this is about.
Yes. So my name is Nova Lee Wilder, and you can find me online at novaleewilder.com. I'm on Instagram at Nova Lee Wilder, Twitter or X or what have you. I've written the two books that you can get anywhere books are sold. So that's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, Books A Million. Buy it from your local bookstore. You can order them. A little bit of numerology and a little bit of angel numbers. And then I have the podcast. And I have readings and sessions. Both of you want like a little short, sweet reading for you and a longer in-depth reading. I also do business names and baby names.
Mm.
And anything you want named or looked at, I can help you with.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll put all that in the show notes. Really quick for my mother. What does 555 mean if she sees 555?
So I would love to know her birthday.
January 4th. Oh gosh. Hopefully she doesn't care that I say her 1948.
1948. Okay. So 5 energy is always connected to Mercury. So this is communication, exchange, money, messages. There's a message about voice. And I'm like touching my throat as I'm saying it. Something needs to be said, heard, stated. There's some message that's coming through, depending on, you know, her own numbers and mm-hmm. that thing. Because she's a 4, I would be like, is there an idea that's not being pursued? Is there a rebellion or a revolution or whatever that means to her that's not fully allowed out? Is your rebel allowed to speak? Does your inner teenager have some shit they need to get off their chest? Is there some fun there that is maybe in need of coming out? Yeah, I mean, 5 energy is always like, deliver the message, make the connection, kind of like touch, like honor the voice that wants to come through, or the message that wants to come through. And also maybe the message is, yeah, we are talking to you. Maybe that question, sometimes people will see that number or those numbers when they're like, I'm looking for a sign. Not that sign. Well, not that sign. You know, they'll be like, sorry to make that, but you know, they'll be dismissive. We can have that thing of like, I really need a sign. And then we see, I don't know, 15 butterflies and be like, seemed like a sign, but not signy enough for me. So I would just say, yeah, you are being spoken to. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to make more space in your life for being spoken to? Could you meditate or devote, you know, an everyday task? That's how I often do my meditations or whatever. I'm like, I might not sit down for 5 to 10 minutes, but I'll be like, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm not going to put in, you know, music or anything in my right. ears. I'm just going to go for a walk. And this walk I dedicate to whatever message wants to come through.
Okay.
So sometimes I find that for many people that like stillness is infuriating, but some kind of activity kind of calms mm-hmm. their system enough. I mean, it could be the dishes. Do the dishes and kind of dedicate them to your spiritual team and see if there's anything that is coming through. Some knot that you need to unravel or something like that.
Oh, that's super interesting. I will.
Of course, you know, also look it up in a little bit of angel numbers.
Yes, I'm definitely going to get that book because there's just random numbers that come up for me. I don't see the same ones all of the time, but it is true that your awareness is key, because if once you start becoming aware of seeing 11/11 or whatever, all of a sudden it seems like those synchronicities just keep happening and happening, and got to just pay attention. Novalee, this was so awesome. Thank you so much for your time and for being on my show. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me. It was an absolute joy.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.